I believe it is done. I believe I can find the Yggdrasil, and I believe I can enter it. I don't know if this is brilliance, luck, or fate. No, it is definitely not fate. She would not be happy with this. Over fine mountain wine, Gumto told me of a region up in the mountains of Nathaniel Mar that contains a cavern that seems capable of moving. Living at the base of the Great Crag, he has seen many set off to explore. Their reasons vary: treasure, adventure, exploration, even mages hoping to tap into the converging ley lines that reside deep beneath. Very few return. Apparently, it can be found rather consistently under the right conditions, and Gumto has reluctantly agreed to discover this information from his contacts within the town. So despite this consistent inconsistency, of those who have returned, they describe a cavern that may be more than rock and mineral. All describe an overwhelming fear wash over them. For some, this was enough to trigger the survival instinct and see them retreat back to the safety of Nathaniel Mar's undulating hills. No two describe the same place. As I lay in bed that evening, unable to find sleep despite the cups of wine coiling through me, I had the revelation. Before the written word, oral tradition was passed down, re- and mistranslated, forgotten, and altered throughout generations. What if the Yggdrasil was a victim of this warping? The Yggdrasil is supposed to be taller than anything else in the land, right? What if the ash falling from the tree was actually snow, and instead of roots, it was actually a powerful confluence of ley lines diving beneath the earth like magical arteries and veins? It is my belief that Nathaniel Mar is Yggdrasil. And if the tales in the Libris Mortis are correct, the Yggdrasil is where I will find the answers to questions that perhaps should never have been asked. In the coming days, I told Gumto of my plans to enter the Yggdrasil. The climb was rocky and made perilous by the chasms, cliffs, stones. Later, it grew cold and snowy, and we often slipped and fell as we plodded upward with staves and axes. Finally, the air grew thin and the sky changed color, and we found it harder to breathe. For 3 days, we climbed higher and higher towards the roof of the world. Then we camped to wait for the clouding of the moon. We were privileged to have clouds upon the second night, a night of the full moon. Thick and majestic, the clouds sailed, slowly and deliberately onward, ranging themselves around the peak, high above, and hiding the moon and summit from view. As the dim light of the moon reflected and refracted through the swirling vapors and screen of clouds, new paths revealed themselves to us. As I write this final entry, we sit at the mouth of a cave that did not exist the two nights before. I enter after my next rest, with enough supplies to last for some time. Gumto, Ninugs, will be returning, the latter with the task of delivering this journal to the magistrate. In saying our farewells, we smoked from Gumto's pouch of aromatic leaf. Ninugs asked, what was in the cavern? Perhaps a labyrinth, I offered in jest. You know, another yarn dating back to myth that has been proven closer to fact than fiction. Do you suppose, Gumto, that I will encounter a minotaur on my quest? But Gumto didn't laugh. He only sighed and turned his eyes to the ground. The only minotaurs in that cave are the ones you carry in with you.